As U.S. and NATO troops fighting in Afghanistan see a record number of military and civilian casualties in the nine-year-old war, news reports indicate that the Afghan government and the Taliban may be taking the first tentative steps toward negotiations. U.S. officials have confirmed that they are providing safe passage to Taliban leaders traveling to the capital city of Kabul to initiate peace talks with representatives of Afghan President Hamid Karzai. But there is skepticism that these talks will lead to any quick peace deal as violence escalates across Afghanistan between Taliban insurgents and American and NATO forces now numbering 150,000. According to U.S. military officials, the number of airstrikes and unmanned drone attacks targeting the Taliban have increased exponentially over the past 4 months. Observers believe that the escalation of the air campaign is part of a two-track strategy designed to bring more pressure on Taliban commanders in order to drive them toward a diplomatic solution. Any future negotiations between the Taliban and Afghan government will be made more difficult by the widespread perception that President Karzai's government is thoroughly corrupt. The latest indication being a decision by Afghanistan's Election Commission to throw out about 1 million ballots cast in the September 18th parliamentary election, eliminating about 23% of the votes due to fraud. Between the lines, Scott Harris spoke with former CIA analyst Melvin Goodman, who now serves as a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. He assesses the viability of talks between the Afghan government and the Taliban and hard decisions facing President Obama as he and his advisors conduct a review of their Afghan war strategy in December.
Well, I don't think the negotiations are serious at this point, and I don't even believe I would use the term negotiations. I think what we're seeing are unofficial personal contacts between the Afghan government, particularly the people closest to Karzai, and certain Taliban leaders. And it's true that the Taliban has been given safe conduct so they can travel to Kabul for these talks. But when you look at the demands that the two sides are making, I don't see room for compromise right now. The Taliban is demanding that all foreign troops withdraw before there are any negotiations. And the United States is demanding that not only must the Taliban reject al-Qaeda, which wouldn't be difficult, but that the Taliban must lay down their arms and declare allegiance to the Kabul government. And I don't see that happening. Right now, the Taliban are doing extremely well. They seem to have a certain amount of cohesion in the field. I think they're following a strategy. Their forces are spreading out into areas where they haven't been before, particularly the Tajik areas in the north. They're doing very well in the south and the east. Whereas you look at the United States counterinsurgency strategy, and I think it's adrift right now. If you look at what happened at Marja about 6 months ago, that was a major disappointment. The Kandahar offensive really wasn't a full-scale offensive. It had to be scaled down because the support we thought we would get from the Afghan military just was not forthcoming. So I think the only one really interested in some kind of compromise at this point is Karzai, because he doesn't know what the United States is going to do. He knows that President Obama is seriously conflicted over strategy. I mean, I'm sure he read the December 1st West Point speech just the way everyone else did. And here was a speech that talked about putting troops in, and the same speech he talked about taking them out. And then when you read Bob Woodward's Obama's Wars, which I think is a fascinating account of how that decision was made, it shows that his advisors were conflicted, including among the military, that just as many generals were pushing against introducing more troops as there were generals and admirals pushing for more troops. So it's not clear what's going to happen in December when we have this review. I'm inclined to think right now it's not going to be a serious review. And I don't expect any serious withdrawal to take place in July 2011, which is what Obama has promised and what Vice President Biden has assured people will definitely happen. So what the New York Times did a few days ago to say that the end game has begun, I think that is really premature at this point.
The topic of Afghanistan is not really a primary issue being debated in this election campaign. But despite the fact that there is not a lot of focus on the Afghan war among the American people, if you were going to make the case to the president, if you were to advise him on withdrawing troops from Afghanistan or when to do it, What case would you make in terms of national security issues and the concern among many people who've expressed this over the years, including Obama during the campaign, that we have to remain in Afghanistan in order to prevent al-Qaeda from getting a foothold there and allowing a safe haven to develop for future attacks on this country and other places around the world?
Well, I think I would talk on the basis of the mythology surrounding this decision in the first place. And I would start with al-Qaeda and the so-called safe haven in Afghanistan and the likelihood that a Taliban government would bring al-Qaeda back in. First of all, I don't think the Afghan safe haven that al-Qaeda had before 9/11 was as influential to the attack as people seem to believe. For one thing, the operational aspects of the 9/11 attacks did not take place in Afghanistan. The training took place in the United States at our own flight schools. The money for the operation was raised from sources that were based in Germany and distributed by al-Qaeda members who were in Hamburg, Germany, and a couple other German cities. And a lot of the recruiting took place in northern Africa and southern Europe. So Afghanistan itself was not that important as a safe haven. And right now, al-Qaeda has a safe haven in Pakistan. It's not necessary for them to come back into Afghanistan. There are very few al-Qaeda members in Afghanistan. The CIA director, Leon Panetta, in a briefing several months ago, put the number as 50 members of al-Qaeda, and that's probably an overstatement. And actually, right now, al-Qaeda is far more ensconced in Yemen. That seems to suggest they wouldn't need another safe haven in addition to Pakistan, given what they have in Yemen and the tribal areas of Pakistan. And then I would argue the point that this is not a war of necessity. What happens in Afghanistan is essentially limited to Afghanistan itself. The Taliban has no desire to extend its influence or power outside of Afghanistan. Omar, the Taliban leader, strictly has objectives and a mission that are defined by regaining the government in Kabul. And also, if you look at the neighbors of Afghanistan, this is a problem that the regional members should deal with. Iran certainly is opposed to the return of the Taliban. We have worked secretly with Iran before. I'm told we're still working secretly with them and bringing them into the talks that are going on now with the so-called Peace Council that it took Karzai a year to form. And the irony of this whole situation, and this would be my final point that I would make, the degree to which we are successful in Afghanistan with this counterinsurgency strategy means we would be driving the Afghan Taliban out of Afghanistan and into Pakistan, where they would ultimately join forces with the Pakistan Taliban and put more pressure on the very weak Pakistan government. So winning would be losing, as far as I'm concerned, because of the Pakistan problem that would be created.
That was former CIA analyst Mel Goodman, a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and adjunct professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. His latest book is titled Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA. Read his articles online at CIPonline.org.